leader!
Order, order.
The number of political parties in Parliament has dropped from 8 to 7 with this ruling before question time from the Speaker, David Carter.
As from today, the parliamentary membership of the United Future Party will no longer be recognised as a party for parliamentary purposes.
While losing a party, Parliament gains an ordinary MP.
Honourable Peter Dunn will be treated as an independent member for parliamentary purposes.
But there's still hope for the former minister and party leader.
If the party subsequently regains its registration, I will revisit the matter of the recognition of its parliamentary membership on the basis that it is a political party in whose name a member was elected at the 2011 general election.
In the meantime, that's a drop in income of around $100,000 for the O'Hara UMP, while money and local politics were up for debate on a bill inspired by questions over donations to the campaign run by ACT leader John Banks for the Auckland mayoralty. Among speakers in the third and final reading debate on the Local Electoral Amendment Bill No. 2 was the Greens' Holly Walker, who complained about the bill's lack of controls over third-party funding in local elections.
We know, because of media coverage and reports, that there is a wealthy individual in Hamilton who intends to spend a large amount of his own money to actively campaign against every single incumbent councillor on the Hamilton City Council. And there is nothing at all in the current provisions, nor this legislation, that would in any way restrict or regulate how that individual can campaign. Because he's not campaigning for any particular candidate, he is unrestricted in what he can spend and unrestricted in what he can say in his efforts to campaign against the incumbents.
Meanwhile, Holly Walker's caucus colleague Jan Logie had this question for the Attorney-General, Christopher Finlayson.
Does he agree with the New Zealand Law Society that, quote, the rule of law lies at the very foundation of a free and democratic society and is essential for the protection of human rights, unquote? If not, why not?
Mr. Speaker, yes, although I would observe that it's the rule of law, not the rule of lawyers, and it's certainly not the rule of the mob, which is the Green Party's preferred approach.
Very droll.
Order.
The Greens' Jan Logie, one of several questioners who quoted the New Zealand Law Society, especially in reference to the GCSB Amendment Bill. Among them, Labour leader David Shearer's suggestion that the bill increase the GCSB's powers copped this response from the Spy Agency's Minister and Prime Minister, John Key.
And I say to that member, if he doesn't want to keep New Zealanders safe, if he doesn't want to assure that we have better information about the security of New Zealanders, we'll keep going the way you are, son, but you won't become
Order.
Prime Minister
Don't
doing that.
Order.
The dozen questions to ministers were followed by half a dozen questions to a member, which, for reasons explained by Rhys Lyon, had other members reaching for their earplugs.
Questions were posed by Labour's Shane Jones to multi-party MP Te Ororoa Flavel.
To the member in charge of the Gambling Harm Reduction Amendment Bill, is it his intention to proceed with the Gambling Harm Reduction Amendment Bill? If so, does he believe its effect will be a reduction in problem gambling?
Te Ororoa Flavel.
Tēnā Mr. Speaker. Hei awhini aku I pakuwahanga ka whakawhetiwheti te reo Māori.
Mr. Flavel chose to answer that and a series of follow-up questions in Māori, and later there was an announcement by the Speaker that he had received a request for an urgent debate.
From the Honourable Damien O'Connor, seeking to debate Understanding Order 386, the discovery by a New Zealand dairy farmer of the remains of a cloven-hoofed animal in his consignment of imported palm kernel expellea from Malaysia or Indonesia, and the subsequent failure of both the Minister for Primary Industries and his ministry to adequately respond to the issue. An urgent debate was held on the Ministry's effectiveness of preparing for and responding to biosecurity incursions in New Zealand earlier this year. I am not convinced that I would be justified in setting aside the business of the House again today. The application is therefore declined.
But Damien O'Connor wasn't satisfied.
At what point of warning or possible incursion can we consider that biosecurity is an urgent matter? Do we have the ability to debate in the House the risk, or do we have to wait until we have an incursion and then debate the cleanup? Because it is of utmost importance and the number one issue for primary industries in this country. So I seek your guidance on the point of urgency.
On this case, my responsibility under Standing Order 386 is to determine whether, because of this particular incident, because of the letter I received from the Honourable Member, whether a discussion in the House is required today. I have ruled that that is not the case.
Speaker and former Primary Industries Minister David Carter.
That report from Rees Lyon. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program was brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.